Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we're on location.
On location at Chicago's oldest brewery, goddammit.
Yeah, Goose Island Clybourne.
Yeah, man. We're here with pub brewmaster, Mr. Mike Jacobs.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, thanks for having us. Glad our schedules finally worked out. I know, like, it's just crazy for everybody.
A little back and forth, but...
And and now it's 2 days in a row. We're hanging out here.
Out. Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
Well, thanks. Well,
2 days. Two-day residency at Goose Island.
Yeah. we're closed tomorrow. I was going to say, like, what are you doing tomorrow? You guys want to hang out?
I think we start as employees and we're...
Of course.
Oh, man. Fire alarm's going on.
Yeah.
Oh, that's his phone.
Oh. That's my phone.
Okay. He's got the weirdest sound on his phone ever.
Yeah. Well, I have that tone because it like makes sure it like alerts me.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can ignore it.
Yeah. Right. That's true.
Get that spooky tone.
I think this is our first on location since Bravinia.
Oh shit!
We were like in masks then. Like it was as they were just about to open the Chicago location. So this is awesome. I'm so glad we're finally getting on location with people again.
Yeah. If you haven't been to Goose in a while, I want to say this is the Carl Strauss room. I could be wrong there. At one point, it probably was.
Mate, we call it PDR.
PDR.
Or private dining room.
Hey
which
now.
Is a less like fancy name than the Carl Strauss room. So like I don't know if that was like a name that it used to be called.
Yeah, for a second it was.
Yeah, they didn't pass that info on to me. Mm. But yeah, now we're in a private dining room.
Okay. And what even before that was a Siebel room, right?
Oh yeah. It has rotated. Yeah. For anyone who's been to the iconic Stoutfest, it was always here. It was in this room and then it kinda overflowed into the next room.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, a lot of fun times in this building, man. You know?
Right. It's almost closed, what, three times?
I feel like every handful of years, they're like, we're done. We're saying our final, fare thee well.
I hope not now. Right. Like, I just get in the door and they're like, well, it's been a good run.
We made it through COVID, but now
Now we're just going to end this. But you did a nice job.
We ran into you recently at a dinner. It was like a flagship dinner, right? Is that what it's called?
Spring beer dinner,
spring
I think.
Beer dinner. Right? Or classics, back to classics. Is that what it's technically called?
I think I don't know what we named it. I know we were, I guess I could look back on it, but we were like, basically we wanted to focus on some of the beers that made Goose like Goose Island. So we looked at Honkers, we paired stuff with Sophie, Matilda, some of the BCS, obviously. It's too many ums, but that was what we were looking at with that beer dinner.
Right, and this was our first time having Honkers in a while. I'm drinking one of them now, and even recently at the little tasting last night we were at, they mentioned that it's going to be on at the Beer Temple starting soon and a couple other places, so it may find some more love back in Chicago again.
Yeah, I hope so. I know we make Honkers here. That's not the Honkers that will be like, I guess out in the world, say at like Beer Temple. But like, I guess we've been keeping that candle burning for Honkers here. It's one of my favorite beers. So I'm happy to see it like back in production and back out in the world. And not just like in our little corner.
Yeah. And when we were talking to you, we were talking about like making it different, and Nick had a story about how like it's really hard, or people have said it's really hard to make at the production brewery, and then here you said it's like it's easier. Not that it's easy, it's easier.
Yeah, I came from Fulton, and I expected it to be a very, very easy beer to run through that system, and it wasn't. But here, I'm not sure of why those specifics are, but it is a pretty easy beer to make here.
Okay. Yeah, it's tasty. Like, yeah, having it a couple days in a row, I'm enjoying it. It's a good, like, it's almost like a beer you don't have to think about when you go to the bar. I always think of that, like, a daisy cutter. If I'm just at somewhere and I like don't know what to get, I like, just give me a daisy cutter. So you come, you show up at Goose, like, yeah. And you're like, just give me a Honkers. I just got in here. I didn't even know, look at the menu.
That's exactly what you did when you came yeah. in here too. You were just like yeah. locked in. You didn't look at the menu. Just, I'll have a Honkers.
Yeah, it's literally the first beer they ever made. Yeah. So that's, it's pretty cool.
That's pretty, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned, so you started at, or not started, but you were at the production Fulton place.
Yes. Yep.
What's the, I guess, your backstory in general? Like, how'd you get into the beer brewing scene? Where were you before this?
So a couple places, I guess, before Goose Island. I guess right before, weirdly, you mentioned being at Ravinia. I was at Ravinia. I was at All Rise Brewing before that. As the head brewer there, pandemic basically shut that down. They're open again, but
okay.
During that time, I went to work at Ravinia because it was a production job.
That orange beer there is like great.
Which one? Oh, three orange wit. Yeah, three orange wit. Yeah,
that was like my favorite.
Yeah, All Rise. Yeah, there. And I so then I went to Ravinia, and then I got I had applied at Goose. Probably like a year before online or something, and then it just like popped up in my inbox. And then basically went to work there. This job opened up, and I thought I had zero chance at getting this job when it was like posted on the company board. But here I am, and still like
fucking A.
Yeah, I still can't believe it. They must have seen something. I'm not sure what it is, but I mean, I'm super grateful and just like humbled by the opportunity to be here.
So. Yeah, there's some like, did you not think you were qualified to get it, or were you just like underestimating your skill, or like there's some like big shoes to fill in the like Goose Clyburn like?
I think it's all those things. There's like probably some layer of like imposter syndrome that like.
Okay.
Well, these are hollow.
Probably
balls,
like,
right?
Yeah, exactly. That like exists in your mind, whether regardless of how like good you think you are, like. I don't know, that you just feel like that can't be true, right? Like, I can't have this job, you know, like...
Yeah. It's like if I woke up and owned the Chicago White Sox, I'd be like...
yeah, right, or whatever.
This isn't.
This isn't right, right?
Like, this is all going to be over tomorrow. This can't be real.
And I told the GM, too, here, like, this is my dream job. Like, you can't get rid of me now. Like, that I'm embedded now. And then afterwards, I'm like, man, maybe I shouldn't have said that. You know, you'd be like... Now we could take advantage of that dude,
right?
Because
yeah.
He like really loves his job.
Yeah,
it's
pretty impressive, man. We're talking, you know, Greg and John Hall, you know, Will Turner, you know, even John Nagotsky, who's got some Phobat medals under his belt, you know, Nick Curran, if I say his name right. Yeah, just a ton of Jacob Sembrano was pub
Josh
master
Deeth.
Here. Oh shit, Josh Deeth. See? Yeah, like a ton of people we all know in Chicago beer all. Brewed here.
So and that's what I'm saying. I get that imposter syndrome. Like, I can't be in that chain of brewers, right? Like, my name is on that list.
Oh, no, you're
totally
in the fucking chain. You're
the problem. I know. But that's where it's like I have a hard time believing it's real. So, I'm like very humbled by the opportunity, and I just want to, like, do it proud, you know?
Mm-hmm. Did you, coming from those other places like All Rise and Ravinia and wherever else, did you like the smaller place versus being at Fulton? Like, was it, people have said, like, you talk to brewers, they're like, you have to know, like, do you like the production side or do you like the brew pub side? Like, they are different, but you probably like one over the other.
Yeah, I think I prefer pub brewing. I think I'm a creative person, so I like the opportunity to like do different things, you know, like brainstorm ideas for like recipes or what we could do differently, like coming up with beer names, like all those things I really like doing. But there's also aspects of production brewing I like a lot, having done both. You know, you can like, basically you come in and you know what's gonna happen.
Okay.
You know, like I know like 3 days a week I'm gonna brew Bourbon County for 10 hours. and like I know what to expect every Tuesday through Wednesday, you know, and there's not that pressure of, I guess, having to be creative all the time or like, what's the next beer?
Yeah.
What's okay. next? What's next? Because like once I, you know, like I brew this half or like I always have to be on like, what's next? What am I doing next? What's, you know, when are we going to put out this? And, you know, where production brewing, you can just like settle into a groove. You know, you just try to make the best beer every time to spec to that recipe. Mm-hmm. And really hone in on that. So,
yeah, and you got to come in if a beer is not selling. You got to come in and be like, ah, no one has drank my like pomegranate.
Yeah, and also then like with production brewing, I don't have to like look at Untappd at like 3 a.m. and be like, damn, what, half a star? I just don't like milds. You know, like
there's a lot of that.
You know, like so there's that too. So I don't know, and you learn a lot production brewing, like that is applicable in like a brew pub setting that maybe process-wise you would not be exposed to if you were just like doing it on your own kind of thing.
That's cool.
How does that translate, you know, the creative side and versus the, you know, the side at the production facility? How does that translate from a system perspective, right? How do those two systems compare to each other?
I mean, almost not at all.
Okay.
So, I mean, to a certain, in that they are both brew houses, they're going to work fairly similarly, but, like, the way things scale is not, I'm probably going to use the wrong word, like, logarithmic, it's not going to be like, I'll just drop it down 20% because this is 20% bigger or
like
whatever.
It's not like making a half batch of cookies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's
I'm
going to
make a smaller cake.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't work that way. So, like, the brew houses have different efficiencies. And,
yeah.
And especially at Fulton where you're using a mash filter, which is, like, a very different type of technology than what I'm doing here with like a lauter tub or whatever. But I think that's a cool aspect of working at different scale. Like at All Rise, I worked at like a very manual 10 barrel system. At Ravinia, it was 20 barrels. At Finch, it was 15. At Fulton, it's 50 barrels. At here, it's 15 again. So like I've kind of like bounced around to different brew houses and it's cool to just like figure out all the different like quirks and how things work and how we're gonna make, you know, a brew day go well on each different one.
Yeah. So on the creative side, thinking of all these beers to come up with, new ones, how often do you dive back into old recipes that like Josh Teeth or Will Turner or other people may have like done? You're like, should we give this a try?
Let's run it back. There's a ridiculous, more than any other brewery in town. There's an extensive catalog here.
So, yeah, like I've looked back at the catalog. I mean, I got recipe sheets going back to 96 in that office. Like, it is a deep catalog. Yeah. So, I haven't done it yet. I mean, I guess I had. So, like, I made Cubby Blue, which is a recipe. I don't know but that goes back a long time. I don't know exactly when, but
I don't know why. It was just at the club, or it was at the Wrigley Brewery.
Rest in peace, Goose Wrigley. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know that that's like, so that one I'm running back. Like, there are certain things like, and Honkers, the like Honkers I'm making here, like, I'm not going to like reinvent the wheel. I'm brewing
Blue
Honkers at this brewery. Like, I'm going to be like,
we're making
the Honkers. You know, like, I'm not going to be like,
the Honkers,
I'm putting,
man,
Mike Jacobs stamp on the Honkers, you know, like, we're going to make Honkers because this is the Honkers Brewery.
Is Cubby Blue that good, or was it better because you were like right next to the park? Did it have like some of that?
It's a blueberry hef, I want to say, right?
No, it's a blueberry blonde.
Oh, blueberry blonde.
And I
okay,
feel I like it was either at Wrigley or another place.
The plastic cup, because I don't know how to act over
there. They put some blueberries in it, right?
Yeah. I mean,
it's a blonde ale. It is a blonde ale that we put some blueberries in.
Okay, but I feel like in the glass, I feel like I got it. Either it was there or like another brewery somewhere else that did a blueberry beer. They put like,
oh, they might. I mean, I don't know for sure because I wasn't there when they were doing it, but I guess I would not be surprised if like literal blueberries went into it when you ordered it.
Yeah, that's what I
thinking. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. I thought you meant like at like brew process side. Like, yeah.
Here's your glass.
That could have happened. I mean, I guess I wouldn't put it past that happening, but I can't confirm nor deny whether that happened at Wrigley.
I haven't had it. Like, I didn't. Haven't had it since if you ran it back here, I wasn't haven't been here when it was on, so I just remember it, and I don't remember if it was good or if I got it because where I was.
Well, we'll get you one, and you can see how you feel.
Okay. Do I get blueberries?
That's another one I have not, like, altered.
Do I get blueberries?
Yeah, yeah. I don't have blueberries, though. Like, I don't think there's any. We could go to Trader Joe's real quick.
Now, did you, now it's the Goose Island, well, this is Goose Fulton, but it's the Goose Island, what is it? It's the Goose Island Barrel? It's not the Barrel Warehouse.
What are we talking about?
This here? Location. What is this location called?
Oh, we call it the Brewhouse, Goose Island Brewhouse.
Sorry, it's the Goose Island Brewhouse. Now, were you here before the renovation?
Did you? As far as working for Goose Island?
Yeah. Or did you come as a
customer?
I mean,
I had, yeah. I mean, I guess I don't remember the years exactly, but like, I mean, I was here in the 2000s and stuff like that. And, you know, in between, I remember, like, I was probably here also the second week it reopened after the renovation. I remember coming here then, too. So I was, like, I've been a fan forever, and I'm, like, Chicago born and raised. Grew up in Avondale / Logan Square since 1982. So,
okay. Yeah. Were you surprised? I was personally surprised that, I mean, change is inevitable, right? But there was a certain charm to this joint that, you know, you don't get in most places. You know, the loft and the cellar. And were you surprised as a fan or even as an employee when they decided, hey, let's revamp the bar? That's one thing, right? Revamping the bar. Yeah. But then let's actually revamp these little spaces in here that kind of made it made it memorable. Because, you know, did that surprise you?
Yes, and I would say, like, I miss that, too. But, like, I don't know. We have the memories, right? And then the future goes on. And
well, that
know.
Bar, what, it exists over at the Fulton
That's
Brewery.
True.
No, it's at the Barrel Warehouse.
Barrel Warehouse.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, the bar is still there. Like, I love that bar, man.
It's a great
bar. I miss
bar.
That bar, yeah.
That thinking back, it's huge. Like, it was big in here. Like, when you go to the bar now, it's, like, very open.
Right, yeah. It was,
and
like,
I was like, you couldn't, like, see across.
Yeah, they had, like, pillars and, like, yeah.
Yeah. It had a very library vibe, and it was the kind of place you could bring your parents, right? And it was like, you know, but this has a lot more versatility. You know? So I get it. I understand things have to change. I'm just like, man.
No, dude, I'm like a big nostalgia person too. Like, I feel you on that. Yeah,
it's got to happen.
It's true.
Like,
yeah, it's true. Yeah, this is the grumpy old man podcast.
You just want the old man dark wood like, bar places.
That's exactly what I want.
Going away
and
fast.
Don't ever and leave it the fuck alone. Don't ever change it. But yeah, we should talk about these beers you're making, man, because you know, you can come here, you can find BCS, you can find Honkers, but then also I think the first beer I had was a Keller beer, and then I had a Hef, and then I think right now we're drinking a dry hopped Saison.
Yep.
Yeah, man, talk about some of the beers you're making, man, and why you're making those beers.
So I guess, like, creatively, like, certain times I like to push the boundaries, but a lot of the times I like to just, I'm pretty traditional as far as, like, beer styles and beers I like to drink. So that Keller beer for me, the ability to do, like, decoction mash here, to do that was, like, a big deal. And treat those beers properly. The Hef, a lot of work to do a Hef properly with the proper rests, the proper pitch rate on the yeast to get the esters and phenolics in that Hef the way we wanted it. That to me is like the most rewarding aspect of brewing. And then also with the Belgians, I like using different yeasts and to use Brett where it seems appropriate, and then to try to use the hops and the dry hop to like complement those flavors I think is an interesting challenge, something to do. So you know, we're brewing hazies that I think kick ass. I think we're brewing IPAs that kick ass, but these like more traditional styles are like what speak to me the most as far as like beers I want to drink, beers I want to brew, that kind of thing.
Okay. I want to say the first time I heard about decoction in general was probably at Metro. And I think it's like the temperature changes in the grain portion, right? Like something about the water temp changes.
It's actually with the mash, what you're doing is you're boiling a portion of it for a certain amount of time in order to increase the mash temperature. and then you recombine those two things.
Gotcha.
So that kind of creates a different like malt flavors that you're not going to get basically any other way than like boiling and mash.
Yeah, that was always interesting to me. That just that decoction as a concept. I was like, oh, shit.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a pretty traditional like lager process.
Do you work closely at all with the Fulton team at all? Like what they're brewing? Do they bring beers that they, like last night we were drinking the Bear Hug, and they're like, oh, we'll run these through, or we'll do a bigger batch and we'll run them through the tap room there. Do they ever like bring a supply over, a bunch of kegs, and be like, let's put them on here and see if they how they sell? That doesn't happen. Like beers don't come over that they want to like test or vice versa.
Yeah, no, I think it probably we're like probably a little hamstrung by like licensing.
Laws, okay.
Laws essentially. Like, so we can't just like drive beer from one place to the other. It has to like go through the distributor.
Okay.
So like
that's how Haymarket is.
Yeah.
They buy all this stuff from Michigan.
Yep. So like the Goose IPA like that I'm not brewing here, like we buy it from the distributor.
Okay.
So like stuff coming from Fulton or the taproom would require being bought from the distributor. So that really small stuff that they're doing in the innovation department there, like our distributor's not gonna make a SKU for like 2/6 to send to me or like whatever.
Experimental hop.
So that we get a little sort of like, but that runs through the tap room essentially instead of here.
I was just wondering if they like it up a little more and been like, can you brew this one to see if that happens?
Yeah, so we will do that, but those will be more like, I guess, less experimental and more like traditional things that we want to do. Like we did that historic Forgotten Half beer that was going to be like, we're not like trying out something new. We're just like, we're going to brew this historic
that was good
beer
recipe. I was in like,
you posted that.
Yeah, like a couple months ago and I had that. I was like, oh, this was great.
Yeah. That was basically like, they called it a pale ale from like 1910 recipe. Which doesn't really resemble a pale ale the way we think of them today, but just using, you know, six row corn, cluster hops, ale yeast. I mean, it's still very cool, but like, so stuff like that will run through here versus, I think, more like, I think they leave me to do the more like experiment, like, let me take the risks.
Okay.
Innovation, you're doing like 1 to 3 barrel batches there versus here. I'm like 10 to 15.
And people going to the Fulton one, they're going there for the Bourbon County. They're going there for like, they're not going there for like, let me get that like experimental or that Cubby Blue or that like Forgotten Pale.
No, but all those are there. Like you could try like, I know they have like 2 different cold IPAs that they're working on, like stuff like that. You can try like a lot of stuff that will eventually become, you know.
Could become.
Yeah. Not necessarily eventually will, but like could become, like whatever, like the Beer Hug beers were,
They were just
one barrel test batches that were probably poured at the tap room before they became
what they are now.
Full production batches.
How long have you been pub brewmaster here? And then since you've been here, what beers are people gravitating towards? Or are there some that are just like people are ordering more than others, or is it all across the board just kind of even? Or how's that been working out?
I guess to your first question, I started in September.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how long is that now?
Shit, because this is what?
6 months, 8 months.
This is April. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, about half a year.
And I would say it was also fitting, like, the first batch I brewed here was Honkers, too.
Right on.
Because that was, like, already, like, on the brew schedule to be, like, left to me, and then it was, like, I didn't have to, like, think of anything new.
It's a good Honkers way to get right adjusted, too, right? To a new spot, like, hey, I'm brewing Honkers.
Yeah, and it felt, like, so fitting. I don't know. It was, like, perfect first beer. And then second part of your question, like, I would say that, like, IPA is still king. Mm. I mean, that's...
whatever the IPA is.
Like, yeah, so, like, the... we did this hazy IPA, double IPA, Eye in the Sky, It's a recipe of mine. I'm not trying to like plug it or whatever. I'm just saying like,
hey,
it tends to
talk your show.
Yeah, yeah, no, talk I don't, I mean, again, yeah. Like, I'm just saying like, I'm a humble dude, like, but it's like, it is, it tends to like top the, our like sales list, at the end of every week. And then it's, you know, our Pilsner does really well. I also do an American lager that does real well. But like the IPAs are always mixed in, whatever the, we tend to do a beer premiere every Thursday, which will be a new beer, and like whatever that beer is that week is up high on that list. But like consistently, IPAs are still the top seller.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time at JBF, top category. IPA.
Hazy IPA.
Yeah. You know, so yeah, hazy IPA. Second most popular category, double IPA. Yeah. Right? I mean, you know, like, that's who we are as a country, right? We're, you know.
No, I think so, and that's where, I mean.
So it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and those are beers, I enjoy brewing them. I enjoy the challenge of making them be beers that I want to drink, too.
I think they're also the biggest because they're, you can do a lot of stuff with them. Like,
there's range, right?
If you're, like, brewing a Bock. There's a Bock. Like, right. You can't, they, like, let's dry up that and put it on.
And the people that
and...
like Bock are going to be like, they're going to hold you to those Bock rules versus, right. Like, yeah, they're like, they hate the IPA. They're going to, yeah, they're.
This motherfucker threw Nelson Savin in my Bock.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
well, I put Cryo Mosaic in this Saison, you know?
Yeah. This is worse. And I will say, man, like, you know, we've been here a couple times, but you know, I'm trying to focus
on
the
week.
A couple times this week, yeah.
But everything I've had has just been just kind of effortlessly drinkable, man. Yeah. You know, like the Hef, this, the fucking Keller beer, they're just like very cool interpretations of the thing. Like, nothing, there's no sharp edges. It just all is just like, it does what it's supposed to do. Like, it tastes good and it makes you want to engage people that are around you. And I think that's noteworthy, you know, because some places you go and it's not like that.
Well, cheers, dude. I appreciate
it. Yeah, it's definitely not like that.
I'm trying to make drinkable beers, I guess.
Yeah.
All around, you know.
Well, and it's a spot, not that people don't live around here. It's much more, there's more happening now, especially with the Mousetrap here. People hang out there.
Yep.
Back in the day, it was like, coming to Goose Island, Clybourne was like, what are we going to do afterwards or before?
You used to go to U.S. Beer Company, man. You remember U.S. Beer Company across the street? You remember that shit?
Yeah. I went to DePaul, so I did. Yeah. I've had a few rounds at U.S. Beer Company.
Yeah. So I, back in like...
plastic cups, too, over there.
Late 90s, early 2000s, I was in a lot of bands, and I played a lot of shows over at that U.S. Beer Company, too.
Yeah.
And at Goose Wrigley. I played several shows at Goose Wrigley. I remind Daria, the GM, about that several times, that we probably, like, crossed paths where I was, like, in a band or whatever, and like, but, like, just
on the
hanging
little
out
stage
there.
Back there.
Yeah,
and there was a room here. Like, I definitely played a show in this room, too, right?
In the old Carl Strauss room, man.
Right? In the Carl Strauss room. I definitely played a show in this room, too, for sure.
They had, like, a little setup.
There was, like, a little stage right
it's
here,
either here,
but
or
it was
the
bigger
patio, right?
Because... Unless I'm like misremembering, because like Brewhouse wasn't here, right?
This was a
well,
pool.
Well, I know
this
it wasn't.
Pool
that
table.
Was the pool table.
There were
table.
Steps. There were steps to the
yeah,
loft.
Yeah, pool table, and then like the like that little room down
yeah,
there.
Private.
So I think this space was like a little bigger. Remember, there was a stage here. I definitely played a show in this room too.
Yeah.
That was a more weird part of my like complicated Goose Island history. Yeah. I definitely played shows at both locations, yeah, pub locations before.
I kind of missed. The Wrigley location.
Dude, and it, for like, the longest time, Oktoberfest was at Wrigley because Wrigley had the patio. Wrigley,
and Night of Living Ales.
And Phobab. Phobab was through there.
Well, oh,
yeah,
like
there was Phobab
once,
at Wrigley.
Yeah.
So,
is Night of the Living Ales going to come back?
They do it.
Yeah, it happened.
Are you listening, Steve Hamburg?
That was the last thing I went to right as COVID hit. And it was
dude,
like,
same.
It was like hitting, and one guy had gloves on, and me and my friends were like, we're not
right?
sharing.
Because it was March.
Yeah.
The last day of the Living Ales
yeah,
or whatever.
Like,
yeah,
we're not sharing beers. They're like, no.
Yeah.
Like, what is this thing? And it was at Bottom Lounge, and it was sort of, it was a little uneasy at that moment.
So yeah.
I don't know if it comes back, but it wasn't a great turnout, I think, possibly because of the COVID.
Yeah, the COVID
happened,
or whatever. So you were there?
Yeah.
I was there.
It was, it was my first time in a while I had been in, I don't know, there were, There was better Night of Living Ales. I don't know. I feel like it's very hard. That audience of Firkin beer drinkers is hard to find now. I don't know, right? Like, it's tough.
Day and Night of Living Ales. That was a good party. When I first got into beer, that was good. That was a good hang. Yeah. But you guys had, you were saying earlier in the pre-show, you guys had 3-1-2 day here.
Yeah.
How was that? How was 3-1-2 day this year?
I mean, it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was great. Yeah. We had a good turnout. We had, you know, John Hall was here. Shandyman was here.
Oh, man, the Shandyman.
Shandyman was here. Yeah, we did.
Shandyman's got that cane.
We had a couple of variants of 3-1-2 that me and assistant brewer Luis, we each did one.
Different than the grapefruit and the strawberry?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we did our own, like, in-house versions of 3-1-2. So I did a, my inspiration was Baja Blast, the Mountain Dew.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty dope. I think I nailed the Baja Blast.
Seems like a good one for 420 yesterday. That probably would be good.
Yeah, I should have brought that out yesterday, too. Did that, and Luis did, like, a ginger and pomegranate one, which was dope, too.
Oh, that sounds nice. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on.
So yeah, it was a good time. I was here early and then late. Yeah, it was a good day.
We talked about this being you know, kind of ground zero for, you know, just some serious beer history in Chicago. Have you do you ever just kind of randomly see a former brewmasters or just employees just kind of come back over time and just kind of say, hey, what's up? I'm in the area. I just want to come check the joint out. Show me around, kind of thing. Does that happen?
I mean, besides, like, I mean, we see, like, the Fulton people all the time.
Yeah.
You talk to Keith Lemke, comes in quite a bit. Yeah, like, I think
Ray Daniels
is out there right now. John Hall comes in here a couple times a week. I mean, these are, like, people I wouldn't be seeing otherwise, that's for sure.
True. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, cheers to Steve Hamburg, by the way, man.
Hammy. Like Steve, man. Yeah, yeah. I love him. So, weird backstory on Steve Hamburg, too. Found this out. I don't remember how many years ago. While I was still working at All Rise, I got a Silver Tut at Day of the Living Ales for, like, a bitter I did.
Right.
And so, they took a picture of me, like, shaking Steve Hamburg's hand. And then, like, I posted it on my Facebook or whatever, like, you know, here's this one Day of the Living Ales or whatever. And then my mom, like, loves to, like, repost those things.
Sure,
and
is
like,
know, it's,
here's
know.
This, my son invented this beer that won an award or whatever. And then, like, she reposted it. And then, like, her friends or whatever, like, they were like, I don't remember how it, like, sorted out or whatever. But, like, then Steve Hamburg was like, is that Jake's kid? And was like, my dad and Steve Hamburg used to be on a bowling team together.
What?
Like, back in the day or whatever. So, like, they're, like, old friends and shit. Like, and I had no idea. Like, I had no idea of that. So now, like, whenever I see Steve Hamburg, we, like, talk about my dad and, like, whatever, and, like, the bowling team days or, like, whatever.
Crazy.
And he knows all these friends. Like, I remember when I was a kid, like, my dad's bar friends or, like, whatever, to be like, oh, how's your Uncle Dan? Or, like, just, like, weird connections that end up happening just based on, like, weird shit
Steve
like that.
Steve Hamburg knows everybody,
yeah.
And yet he's not really in the beer scene because he worked at, like, a computer guy. Like, I'm not
right.
A light on it. It's like, but you know everybody.
Yeah.
I'll tell you real quick, man, my Steve Hamburg story is I used to run with this crew called Beer FX, and we used to host these events. It was a panel discussion, three brewmasters and me. I'm asking all these questions. Or the FOBAB documentary at fucking in Bridgeport.
Yeah.
The first person I called whenever I had to do any project was Steve Hamburg. I'm like, Steve, what do I do? Where do I go? What do I talk about? He's like, get your ass over to Goose Island. That's where the shit started.
That's right. Yeah.
You know? I mean, but he was always somebody I always reached out to ask him, like, what direction do I go with this shit, man? In the beginning. So, yeah, cheers to Steve, man.
Yeah, same. Love that dude. And I've just been here like 2 or 3 times since I've worked here, too. Yeah.
I feel like the last time I saw him was probably that Night of Living Ales.
Yeah, and we talk about cask beer all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. And that, I guess, like, funny story is, like, 2 years running, I got Silver Tut to Goose Island Clybourne.
That's funny. At All Rise?
Yeah, yeah. 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 So, like, you can't beat them, join them, I guess.
Oh, man.
How'd you get roped, or how'd you hook up with the All Rise thing? Because that system, like, no one remembers, but that system came from Moonshine. Which,
well,
right?
I know that.
And so, like,
yeah,
I'm
that
not...
came from Moonshine. Well, same
I love
ownership.
Moonshine.
Yeah,
I think I'm like the only person
the
that remembers. It was like
cups.
Little cups. They were like $3. Yeah. We're like, we're going to Moonshine. It's $3 beer. And they brew them there.
You took a baby food container and took the wrapper off.
That's what you got.
That's what the flight was. That's the, you get five of those, and that's your flight.
And that brew house actually came, so I like did some research on it while I was like working there. That brew house came from some little brewery, in, I think it was Nebraska.
Oh, okay.
It was made in like 94 or something, so it's like very old school brew house. it's dope though, man. I love that brew house. Like, I miss it to this day. That brew house is probably my favorite brew house to work on.
And it was probably great because all the goose people just go there for lunch.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that was the, like literally the only spot there for like a long time. And so I know like, Ken and all them marketing team, they just hang out there like all day.
Yeah, well, Cobra Lounge is, I'm like,
yeah,
that's a dirty dive bar. You would like it.
I like Cobra. I've been to Cobra.
Yeah, I've been.
The only reason I know about Cobra because of the fucking goose guys.
Yeah. So Cobra Lounge seems like
Buffalo chicken wrap and orange wit. That's how you go.
And always like inappropriately
dark. And those they smoke the wings. It's like the whole wing.
That's the thing. They had good food.
Good wings. Yeah,
like,
good food.
Dive bar with good food.
Gilmore's the shit. I'm going to throw props to Chef Gilmore there, too. So what was the question?
I was like, how'd you get synced up there? But that, right, more or less, did that also help you maybe transition to Goose because they were all coming in? Or just,
no. I mean, I don't think that, because that, at that point, I was already like basically like laid off because of the pandemic from All Rise. But we joked about like, so like Finch is right there. I worked at Finch and I worked at All Rise and I worked at Goose. And, like, the joke is like, I'm filling out my punch card for like,
senior on tour.
And I don't like, I actually right around, like right after I accepted the offer from Goose, Mark at On Tour offered me a job at On Tour. But it was like, I'm going to go do this or whatever. So like, I really need to like just like finish out the punch card. And,
at least
go
do,
work
like,
at Great Central for
do,
a little
like,
while
a collaboration.
Or like do something.
Beer,
yeah.
So you'd make that happen.
But I got the job at All Rise. Basically, like they were doing when their brewer left, they asked everyone in the neighborhood to do like a collaboration beer with them in order to like just have beer. And I was just at like basically my end of my rope there at Finch and did a collaboration beer and then. The GM was like, hey, do you want to just be the brewer here? And I was like, yeah, I do. Yeah. So, yeah, that was it.
It's like a story, I don't know, from like a movies or stuff like that. It's like, you're drinking here. You just want a job.
It was like that. It was like, yeah, you made that one beer here. You want to just like be the brewer here? I was like, sure.
You're already here.
Yeah, I'm here now. So, yeah.
So you were at Finch when by the time they moved into that location, were you at Finch at any of the other two?
So so we were talking about this a little bit. So like I was basically like, yes.
Okay.
At Elston and at the
Montrose.
Yes. Finch Kitchen. Yep.
What became Twisted Hippo.
And yep. Now nothing. Yeah.
Yep.
But, okay. So you've seen the story. We don't need to get into this story
here.
But.
We'll do
the Legend of Finch. Man. Yeah, it's the most bizarre story of the last 10 years.
We'll do a special episode. Like, a very special episode.
That should be our in-person event thing. If we do something, just invite everybody out that used to work at Finch.
I mean, we would have a good time.
Yeah.
It would be a good time.
I mean, because then we get all the way to the bottom of this Finch thing, right? Because it's got so many tentacles and it's just so weird. And everyone is still active in brewing. It's actually pretty amazing.
On that whole, just a side note, me and Ken Hunnemeter met Ben Finch like way back when he first just had product in his like, he had like a condo over by United Center, and he's like, here, try some of my beer.
It was like in the bottles?
Yeah.
Yeah, then. I heard it was, so I never had the beer in the bottles, but I heard it was very good in the bottles.
Yeah, it was better than we thought it should have been. Like, what are you doing? Just random beer in your house. Why were we at his house and over there? I was like,
so many
back
questions.
Yeah. But damn. All right, so 312 Day was here, and then we're talking Stoutfest is back, right?
Oh, yeah. Stoutfest will be May 22nd this year, so we want to bring it back in person, inside, to showcase those beers that the Chicago breweries are making.
Nice. Do you have stouts. Something planned that you're going to offer, or you got other things you've already you're doing, or you got something special you're thinking?
Yeah, I got some special things that are not... not announced yet, okay. But there'll be some special stuff we're doing.
May 27th, is that, that's it, basically the end of Chicago Craft Beer Week, right? It
starts. No, that's the week before.
Before, okay.
Yeah, I think.
I think it's May 13th it starts.
They need you. The Chicago Craft Beer Week needs you, man.
I think it starts May, it's just the week after.
No, I think, yeah, so the...
Week after, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So our Stoutfest is the Sunday after the end of Craft Beer Week.
We were saying that, you know, as much as we love the Guild, and we respect what they do for laws, but after Bug, it all kind of fizzles out, you know. As far as like things that you remember.
Party.
When I was a kid, you know, but you know what is Finch now? The old Goose Warehouse. They used to do. Everybody would go get all their stuff. They do golf. They do indoor golf at and you know different.
Or Sunday Fun Day.
Sunday Fun Day at fucking
dodgeball.
At the
man, I miss dodgeball. Yeah, I don't know if that's like a thing. There I guess it's not. We would know by now, right?
Right.
There were other things that that were just as cool as Bug.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah. So they need you, man. Stoutfest, and that, you know.
Well, here it is. I'm sorry. It's not, like, exactly just, in just, Craft Beer Week, but
we'll
it's going to be, like, the week right after.
Beer Week lasts
yeah,
2 weeks.
Yeah, we're
going
to Craft Beer 2 weeks, and then we'll have Stoutfest right
it's
after.
It's 2022, so it's 2 weeks.
Yeah,
2022.
Yeah. I don't think there's very many parties better than Stoutfest.
That one year we went to, we went to Firkin thing at a headquarters, then we came here and we were not in great shape.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, Stoutfest is a heady one. We're gonna do like two sessions this year too. I don't think we did. I guess I wasn't here last year, but I think we just did one session. But we're gonna do two.
Yeah, I think last year was like limited. It was like a small, like almost like private.
We did it right out there in that.
Okay.
Whatever that built out patio right there.
Okay.
Yeah. And we did it out there. At one point there was a, I want to say there was a trophy, like the gigantic.
So the trophy's back.
Gigantic trophy, right?
I just. Cruz Blanca still has it, so they're going to bring it back. Yeah,
you know, it rivals the Stanley Cup in size, and then actually you can drink out of this thing. It's like a big ass fermenter.
Did we watch? Yeah. Was it Microphone or Phase 3 that one that year, and we watched them drink out of
they
it?
They chug out of it.
Yeah,
that's the coolest part. You can
you're like
you can drink out of it.
Damn! All right, I'm excited for that. Awesome. Well, anything else?
We touched a lot. You know? You know, it'll be 2 hours if we keep going. No, we could keep going. But this is cool, man. I'm really glad we got a chance to do this. You know, I think we went to the fall dinner, and then we went to the spring dinner. And at spring dinner, we're like, man, you know, we kind of like the vibe here. I wonder if Michael hang out with us. Yeah. So we're glad we got it on the schedule, man. So thank you for joining us. This is cool.
Yeah, cheers, dudes. Cheers. Thanks for doing it. And, yeah, anytime.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks for listening. Yeah, check out the episode, chicagobeerpass.com, and we'll be back soon. Take care.
Cheers. Yeah.